Die groot trek saam Dopie en Nina. Wees daar tussen 3 en 6.
So ons het vir jou gesê, hy gaan bietjie met ons gesels. Hy is saam met ons op die lyn. En dis meneer Tony Leon. Sy nuwe boek uit, Being There, Backstories from the Political Front. Mr. Leon, good afternoon.
Goeiemiddag Dopie en al die luisteraars by Groot FM. Baie dankie vir die geleentheid.
Yes, wat 'n plesier om nou 'n bietjie met jou te gesels. Kyk, ek is 'n bietjie van ek sal nie sê 'n buff as dit kom by politiek nie, maar ek hou daarvan om politiek te gesels. En Nina wat saam met my hierso sit,
Hello, Tony.
She's not a big fan always of the politics, but I like going into the nitty-gritty and this is exactly what your book is, Being There, right?
Ja, dis agter die skerms, al die gissings en die wandelgange is nou op die bladsye daar gesit. En maar dis nie net nie oor die politiek nie, daar's aspekte van my persoonlike agtergrond wanneer ek in Durban in die 1970s groot geword het by my kosskool en ook wat met my buitelandse betrekkings vir my gegee het en ook my 3 jaar in die buiteland as die ambassadeur in die Argentyn. En ek dink dit het 'n natuurlike indruk op my persoonlik gemaak, maar ook het dit vir my insig gegee hoe ander lande met geskiedenis en ander probleme die situasie reg gemaak het en hoe 'n aspek ons het dit nie reg gekry nie tot dusver.
So, Tony, toe jy nou, jy weet, jy sal 'n geruime tydjie half uit die politiek uit en toe het hulle jou nou gevra om terug te kom met die Government of National Unity, jy moes bietjie help daar met die besprekings, we'll get to that, maar jy het nou genoem, jy was in Argentinië, jy was 'n ambassadeur daar gewees, ons weet nou so klein rukkie terug het ons ambassadeur in die USA, bietjie met sy voet in die mond gesit, did you get the call? That they say Tony.
Niemand het my gebel nie en ek dink Helen Zille het gesê ek is die beste persoon om daar te steer en dit het net dit was 'n waarborg dat Ramaphosa sal my nie gebel nie of jy het not tot dusver my nie gebel nie. Maar ek dink Dopie, dat jy as ons het ons Suid-Afrikaanse die Suid-Afrikaner wat in die met die agtergrond van iemand soos Henry Kissinger, hy kan of sal nie 'n indruk op Trump maak nie, behalwe daar 'n verandering van kernbeginsels of beleide van hierdie regering is nie. Dit is nie net die persoonlikheid van 'n ambassadeur, dit is iets van belang, maar die mees belangrike situasie vir 'n ambassadeur is wat is die beleid van sy land? En as die beleid of beleide van sy land is onaanvaarbaar vir die gasland of die sal daardie ambassadeur, en dit maak nie saak wie dit is nie, sal nie 'n indruk in sy pos maak nie. En ek dink dis die kern van probleem. En ons sal ek dink 'n voorbeeld of 'n instansie van dit môre kry wanneer Ramaphosa en Trump in die Withuis hulle ontmoeting hê, want ons sal sien dat daar is, en ek weet nie hoe daardie vergadering sal gaan nie, daar is 'n botsing van belange tussen Suid-Afrika met die huidige regering en Trump en sy administrasie. Mm. Ek dink daar is aspekte van ons beleid en wat onaanvaardbaar vir die VSA is en miskien ook aspekte van Trump en die Republikeinse administrasie wat onaanvaardbaar vir Ramaphosa en die ANC is, en dis waar die botsing is of, en ek dink dis nie afhanklik van wie die ambassadeur in Washington is nie of nie.
So Tony, yesterday in the news there was a story where they said the fact that both Zuma and Trump are both businessmen and
Ramaphosa.
Ach, wat het ek gesê?
Zuma.
Excuse me. sorry.
Freudian slip there, Nina,
Sorry. Trump and Ramaphosa were both businessmen who then went into politics, and that could be something, jy weet wat, hulle altyd in gemeen het en lekker oor gaan praat en dit beteken die gesprekke kan actually goed gaan môre. Do you think there's any chance of the discussions going somewhere positive?
Ja, daar is 'n kans, maar soos ons sê oor die besigheidsagtergrond van Trump en Ramaphosa, soos ons hier in Suid-Afrika sê, ja, nee. Ja, Ramaphosa is 'n besigheidsman, maar dit is weens die feit dat Ramaphosa het 'n politieke agtergrond, dat hy sy miljoene of biljoene in die besigheidswereld gekry het. Hy was ANC gesind en dis die rede dat Ramaphosa so goed in die besigheidswereld gedoen het nie. Trump het geen agtergrond in die politiek nie en hy het sy miljoene gemaak en ook verloor, ek moet sê. Nie afhankelijk van sy politieke identiteit. En, as jy teruggaan na die begin van Trump's eiendomsmaatskapie, was Trump meer ondersteuner van die Democratische Partij as wat hy was vir die Republikeinse Partij. So ek denk die partij-symbool is nie belangrik vir Trump nie, dis iets anders. En vir Ramaphosa, dis ANC nummer 1, 2 en 3, en ek denk dis die verskil tussen hulle en hulle agtergronde.
Hoorie Tony, ons is nou weer terug met jou. Ons is saam met ons op die lijn van Durban af, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, Tony, you're in Durban at the moment.
Ja, ons het funksie of twee hier vir die boek, en ek is dis my tuisland Durban. Ek het Durban groot geword. So, ek is nou terug.
Are you one of those Durbanites who say, when you asked where you're from, you don't say Durban, you say, no, I'm from Kloof.
Kloof. Well, I get the brief, although I do joke in the book. I mean, I grew up in such a, for Engels, the environment that I went to school in a town over Kersney called Boothers Hill, and in Natal, they insist on calling it Boothers Hill.
Boothers
Hill.
Oh, no, completely.
Very English.
Understand that, Tony.
So, Tony, you were part of the first discussions regarding a possible GNU, and you braai baie daaroor uit in die boek, but how did those talks differ from the new ones that took place lately about the GNU that we have today?
Well, look, I was in two movies here. So the first one, Nina, was way back in the 1990s when we founded the Constitution. I was at CODESA Talks, and then it was a three-year process. This GNU was formed in all of 2 weeks, and some of the problems and the fault lines that you're seeing and have seen over the last 10 years was there was too little time to get an agreement. We got an agreement, and then ever since then, there's been a fight over its meaning and terms. So it's a very fragile plant, but I think the reason that the deal was done, or certainly that when I was part of those discussions last June and July, was not because we had a perfect deal or even a very good one from the DA point of view, but it's because the alternative, which would have meant the EFF and MK going to government, very probably would have been far worse. So, you know, one of the points I reflect on the book, Nina, is that in life, it's just in the nature of things, you know, outside of a church or a synagogue where you have absolute beliefs and principles, in politics, it's much messier. And what you have here is not a choice between good and bad or good and evil. It's between bad and far, far worse or mediocre and far worse.
What's
and
the lesser of the two evils?
The lesser of two evils. And the lesser of two evils in this case, in my view, is not evil. But it's not ideal, and we live with the consequences.
So the big question, obviously, regarding the GNU is, in those discussions that you were part of, and we'll get to how those discussions came about, but did the ANC understand that, you know what, we probably need to side with the DA and the IFP instead of going with the MK and the EFF if we really wanted to keep South Africa and the economy together?
Well, ek dink een van die uitdagings gelede jaar gedurende die geselskap tussen die DA en die ANC was, jy het die DA op die een kant wat min of meer verenig was oor hulle standpunte en vertrekbeginsels. Op die ander kant daar was 'n verdeelde ANC en die ANC is nog verdeeld tussen die die een faksie is die min of meer die Ramaphosa faksie, die sogenaamde constitutionalists. Op die ander kant jy het Mashatidi, Mantashi en Lesufi en die sogenaamde RET, RET faksie. En daar is nie te hul het nie verenigde standpunt. En Ramaphosa het die meerderheid op die huidige stadium in daardie organisasie. Maar soos ons sê in Engels, it's a very fluid and changing situation.
It's dwindling.
So die 6 of 7 onderhandelaars, ANC onderhandelaars met wie ons gesels het en 'n ooreenkoms gekry het, is min of meer redelike persone. Maar daar's 'n groot klomp mense wat ons nog nooit gesien het nie, wat nie so redelik en verlig is. Hulle wil die EFF en die MK saam en terug na die ANC bring. En ek dink daardie stryd binne die ANC gaan voort en ons sal meer en meer druk teen die RNE of teen die DA se situasie deelneme in die RNE sal onder groote druk as ons na die 2027 konferensiedatum vir die ANC leierskap konferensie kom. So ek dink die druk is nog daar.
Tony, kom ons hou dit in Engels dat ons by meer goed kan uitkom, maar it feels like there's two parts of the ANC now. You've got old school ANC that's been, you know, kind of part of the structure of the ANC since the 90s. And then you've got a younger, like you said, faction of the ANC, which is the Lesufis and that kind of thing, which feels a little bit more radical. Are we going to see the ANC within the next few years totally dismantle and see a new party rise up?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, Dupi. I was at the Franschhoek Literary Festival, Woordfeest, just last weekend. And I shared a platform there with someone, straighteros van die ANC from my time, Matthews Poza, who previously was the Premier of Mpumalanga.
He's a pretty cool guy, though, Matthew.
He's a very cool guy, and he's got very interesting and decent views. And Matthews said, he also, incidentally, is a Afrikaans dichter, and he read out a few of his lines in Afrikaans, and it was great. But he made the point, he said, look, the ANC got only 40% in the last election. He said they've learned nothing from the mistakes they made that got them to that point. This is now an ANC veteran.
Yeah.
He said going as they are now, they're going to be lucky to get 30% in the next election. So now that's his view. And, you know, I hope he's correct because I think South Africa desperately needs change and it needs a change where the ANC's dominance just gets less and less. And if that happens, then we might have, you know, a change of policy, better growth, less unemployment. I can list a long range of things that need to happen, which can't happen because, to use a wonderful Afrikaans word, the huidige ANC is a struikelblokkie in die pad.
Mm. So, talking about the ANC, and now I really want to talk about Zuma. Why do you think so many follow Zuma?
That's a fascinating question, Nina. And I'm speaking to you literally now in Mshlunga, Natal, KZN at least, where Zuma got nearly 50% of the votes here last year. And he keeps winning by-elections in this part of the world. In fact, he won one just down the road from where I'm sitting at this hotel right now. So I think the reason is, and it's not confined to Zuma, it's not confined to South Africa. You look at Trump in America, you look at the rise of populist nationalists in places like Romania on the weekend and even in Poland, I think, and in England. I was in England 2 weeks ago where Farage, Reform, stormed to first place in the local elections in England just 2 weeks ago. You're seeing people who really feel that they have lost out, that they are the slagoffers of what has been globalization, of what has been economic advancement for the few but not the many, and people who feel that their culture is disrespected. And that is not confined to Zululand, but in South Africa, Zuma answers that need. And the fact that, you know, he was in jail and he probably will be going to jail, should this case ever conclude, for corruption, and that he misspent, you know, billions of rand, doesn't cut ice. In the same way, if I'm frank about, although he's very different, Trump you know, was under dozens of criminal indictments, and he was elected president of America last November. So now you're taking a long, long established democracy like America, and Trump comes storming back, and you take a very much younger, full-blown democracy, South Africa, and Zuma makes a comeback from, you know, where he, from what you thought he was confined to. So I think this is just an international trend with South African characteristics, actually.
Oh, that is super interesting.
So, Tony, 2 June 2024, you got a call, and that was from John Steenhuisen, the current leader of the DA, and he's like, Tony, we need help. We need to put this thing together in 14 days. And then you go on, it's almost like a diary that you write in the book about, you know, what happened in those 14 days and where you were, how the conversations went. You and your previous, what do you call those people? Advisor, you know, advisor. You both were contacted, but by this time you were already out of the, politics, and he's in Dubai. And John asked you guys to be part now of the conversation so you could get this GNU together. And then Auntie Ellen, who's part of the federal Exco, FedEx of the DA, said, no, wait, John. Mama, laat mama net gegaan hier so met die dinge regryk, and she stepped in.
Well, mama was herself was daar gesteer nie. Dit was die meerderheid van die FedEx wat daar die besluit geneem het, saam met Arvin Meyer, en hulle het ingekom, en dis die goeie besluit van die DA'se prosesse wat haar ingebring, en natuurlijk sy was a baie groot persoonlik het in die kamer, soos altyd. So ek het groot respek vir Helen, en sy het 'n baie sleutel rol daar gespeel, maar Helen en ek het 'n paar verskille gedurende daardie proses, en ek hoop ek was eerbaar, maar ook ek het dit in die boek gesit, waar ons verskil het en waar oor ons verskil het, want ons was nie altyd op dieselfde bladsy nie, maar in die algemeen het ons dit goed gekeer, en ek dink dit is belangrik, en ek moet vir u sê, iemand by funksie in Kaapstad gelede week het gesê, daar was verskil in die DA, sê ja, dit is heeltemal korrek, en dit moet so wees, weens die feit, dis die Demokratiese Alliansie van Suid-Afrika, dis nie die Communistiese Partij van Noord-Korea nie, so, dis hoe een openbare Demokratiese Partij sy besluite moet behandel, en dit is 'n openbare en demokratiese manier. En ek het daardie verskille in die boek gesit, weens ek dink dis baie belangrik dat mense weet dat ons het 'n ooreenkoms, maar dit was nie so eenvoudig by die begin nie, so dit beëindig het. Dit was 'n proses.
Tony, and then, interesting is you actually had a call with some friends. Because as soon as everybody internationally heard, hey, South Africa might be a government of national unity, we're going to have to talk to some people. You had very urgent messages from bankers and people wanting to speak to you and see where they're going to fit in the broader economy of South Africa moving forward. But these conversations with the ANC needed to happen behind very secure closed doors. And you actually had to reach out to some friends of yours down in Sandton.
Yeah, the Eindhovens, because we needed to find a neutral venue where the ANC didn't think they were going to be ambushed and where we would feel comfortable. And Adrian Eindhoven of Hollard and Nando's, you know, had a degree of, what's the word I'm looking for? Geloofwaardigheid, credibility on both sides. He's a very good guy, and he always works very carefully in the background. He's not a, you know, make a big noise. And he has a very secure home in Westcliff in Joburg. So that became the venue for most of our talks. Others happened mostly on the telephone, on WhatsApp groups, on Zoom calls, in the way of modern communication. So it wasn't always face-to-face. But it was because of the urgency of time. And, of course, what the ANC was doing, and I do chronicle that almost like a timekeeper, they kept delaying things. And I didn't know whether this was sort of going back, you know, to the CODESA days where all the pressure was brought right at the end, even though we were there for 3 years of discussions, all came down to the 11th hour so they could railroad their opponents, or whether it was because there were so many disagreements within the ANC family itself. And I left with the conclusion it was probably a bit of both or a lot of both. So, yeah, it was a moving feast, as we say, movable. Yeah.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy man. And just tell us quickly, the book is out now. You've got a launch event in Pretoria that you're coming through for. That's happening tomorrow evening. Being there, backstories from the political front. Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to be in conversation with Valdemar Pelser.
Oh, yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yes, he's a very smart guy. So, yeah. You know, it's at the Woodlands Mall, Exclusive Books, tomorrow, the 21st of May at 6 p.m. And really, it's an open invitation. So, enige luisteraar wat betrokke is, almal is welkom.
But dankie,
en baie dankie vir die geleentheid. Ek waardeer dit.
Dankie. En as ons nie daar kan uitkom nie en ons soekie juicy details, dan moet ons maar deur die res van die boek lees, nê?
Presies.
Okay, maar Tony, ek het nou jou nommer. I'm going to call you for some other juicy gossip. Very confidential. Ek en jy, hoor.
Dankie vir jou tyd, Tony.
Bye.
Interessant, nê, om te hoor hoe hierdie goedjies by mekaar kom. Stuff that we're not privy to, meeste van die tyd. Om te dink ons hele land, nê, vir die volgende 4 jaar.
Ja.
Al die besluite is gemaak in iemand se huis in Sandton.
Ja, dis crazy.
Ja.
Kuier maandag tot vrydag saam Dobie en Nina, 3 tot 6, net hier op die Groot Trek op Groot FM 90.5.